Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Going to talk more Titans later in the hour, but I feel like we haven't touched on college football at all this week, which, you know, understandably so, with Brian Callahan being fired on Monday. But we do have two massive games this weekend across the state. Another one in the SEC with Georgia and Ole Miss, and game day will be in Athens this weekend. But Vanderbilt taking on LSU here in Nashville. Again, 11 a.m. kick on News 2. And then the night game, Tennessee, Alabama. Tennessee trying to avoid their second loss of the season after, you know, that's back-to-back games where they're narrowly escaping against teams that they should beat. You know, they were in control up 17 late in that game against Arkansas.
Got dicey.
And let the Razorbacks get it back within three. They do get the win. This is a game that, in my mind, it's very similar to where Vandy was 2 weeks ago when they went down to Alabama. Of, hey, is it a must-win to stay in playoff contention? No. But if you do win it, you feel really good about where you are coming out for your playoff chances moving forward.
Well, look, if Tennessee wins, it's an enormous win. An enormous win. You know, Tennessee's, and by the way, Tennessee is an 8.5-point underdog. That's a lot. That's a lot. But, you know, we're talking about number 6 and number 11, and an 8.5-point difference. That's a lot. Tennessee's run defense has not been good.
No.
Not been good. But Alabama hasn't been great running the ball this year.
They do have Jam Miller back, who we saw what he did against Vanderbilt.
He makes a difference.
He makes a difference.
But, I mean, they're still at, like, below 4 yards a carry for the season. And so, you know, I'm not saying it's a get-right game. I mean, it's Alabama. But they've got to be better. If they're not better against the run, it's going to be a long day.
Yes. And the way Ty Simpson has been playing, that Missouri game was back and forth, and, you know, you're on the road.
But they didn't waver.
Ty Simpson made some plays down the stretch. The throw that he made, it was like corner route down the left side, and that basically iced the game Alabama at that point.
Would you say they're getting some confidence?
Yes.
They're getting their confidence. I mean, they're not dominating, they're not blowing, but they're not blowing games. They're not letting a game get away from them. They're playing like, hey, we're going to win this thing.
And they've won three straight road games, or three straight ranked games in three straight weeks.
Yeah.
Now you got Tennessee coming in. This is not going to be an easy game for Tennessee. And again, if you do lose this game, doesn't eliminate you from the playoffs.
No, but you got to be perfect.
You got to run the table the rest of the way. Yep. The Oklahoma game may be looking a little more winnable after what we saw from
the Sooners last
week.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not going to be easy.
But no, and you still got to play in the swamp at Florida.
Which historically has not gone well.
Yeah, and Josh Heupel, as good as he's been as the head coach of the Vols, he usually has the one bad road loss per year. Mm-hmm. And he escaped it against Mississippi State. You wonder, Florida, which has been a house of horrors for Tennessee, if that rears its ugly head in mid to late November. And then at the end of the year, we've been hoping and praying that we get the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a gimme for Tennessee. Last year they had to beat Vanderbilt to get in. This is a much better Vanderbilt team. Mm-hmm. Albeit it's in Neyland this year.
Pavia was hurt.
Right. He was still dealing with that, and, you know, we saw what he did against Georgia Tech when he finally got a little healthier.
That's right.
But it's a tough road for Tennessee, and that's what makes this game so important. Is you win this game, now you're what, 6-1, and you come out of it feeling like, all right, we still have some leeway here. Mm-hmm. We can, if we do drop a game against Oklahoma at home, or we do fall against Florida on the road, we're still in control of our own destiny.
You got a win at Alabama. You got an OT loss to Georgia. I mean,
Georgia loss isn't exactly going to look bad on
your
resume.
It's not an eliminator. You lost an OT. You lost because your field goal kicker missed.
Right. You had a kick from makeable field goal range to win that game. I don't think the playoff committee is going to.
Yeah.
That game is not going to lose.
He had made a longer kick in the game, by the way.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I know everybody wants to blame Josh Heupel for that. The kid just has to do his job.
Right. And it's tough. College kickers is the, I mean.
Yeah, but he's pretty good.
He is good. But
he choked.
It happens all the time. And You look back at the Alabama game a couple years ago where Tennessee does make the kick on whatever that wobbly ball was that just snuck over the uprights. You never know what you're going to get from college kickers.
No, you do not.
So
a drunk Brodus.
Yes.
I'd rather have a drunk Brodus than no Brodus. That was a good time in Tennessee history.
Did you see the kicker for the Pat McAfee challenge at Oregon this week?
The lady who didn't kick?
No. It was a guy.
Okay.
And he was fired up, you know. Shout out the Bay Area. Shout out San Francisco.
I believe his name was Luca.
Yes, I think his name was Luca.
Oh, and, Luka Doncic?
No.
Oh.
Close. But he had Nick Saban holding the ball for him. And I swear he kicked the ball about 3 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not close. And they gave him another one.
Wah, wah,
they gave him a second one for $1 million.
Wow.
And they said, and it's one of those things where McAfee saw the first one and was like,
he's got no
million
chance.
Bucks if you make it the second time. And it was better, but it was 30 yards left and 20 yards short. It wasn't close. But, I mean, college kickers, whether they're students or actual kickers, you just never know what you're going to get. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I don't want to open this can of worms here, but New York Doug on the text line has been texting in about Jackson Dart. And he says, admit Jackson is much better than Cam, and it can be apple pie this week in your face. Next week, we add nuts, and it's pecan pie. Make me wait 2 more weeks to hear you say it, and things get real, and we go to cherry pie. Jackson Dart is not better than Cam Ward right now. And guess what? It's 6 games for Ward. It's 3 games for Dart. We're not going to know who's the better quarterback for at least 3 or 4 more months.
I mean, minimum. Did Jackson Dart have a good game on Monday night? Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. He also concussed himself and somehow convinced them to put him back on the field.
And
they're getting fined for that.
It's not like he's lighting the world on fire.
No,
he has not gone out and been the best player on the field. He's looked good.
He did look good. But, you know, again, sample size is important. Vince Young won the Rookie of the Year and then flamed out.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, it's going to be a long time before we know which one of these guys is better. But, I mean, I will say this. You can't right now go, oh, no, Cam Ward is better than he is.
I'm saying that Cam Ward, if you ask me long term which quarterback do you want more, I would say Cam Ward. I don't mean to say he's better right now.
Yeah, I don't think you can possibly say which one is better. I mean,
yes.
Has Jackson Dart had a decent start? Yeah, I mean, he threw for 110 yards in the first game he played.
I think it's fair to say Jackson Dart has played better. But again, if you ask me, take one for the next 10 years,
yeah,
I'm taking Cam Ward.
Well, and you know, the Giants wanted to take Cam Ward.
And then they passed on Jackson Dart once before they picked him later.
So, I hope Jackson Dart is awesome.
Right. I have nothing against Jackson Dart, but like, let's not start these comparisons right now because nobody knows.
No, we don't.
And likewise, if Cam Ward plays great on Sunday against the Patriots and Jackson Dart sucks in their game, I'm not going to come on here and take victory laps saying Cam Ward is the better quarterback.
Okay. Look, there's a lot of quarterbacks we can look at. Look at Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You know, he still threw for like 3,600 yards last year, but it was rough. He took like 60 sacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was tough sledding. But this year, Caleb's looking pretty darn good with a good coaching staff.
And not that Jaden Daniels has looked bad, but Jaden Daniels, everybody was saying the Bears made the wrong choice, and they very well could have.
But it's still early.
But it's still early, and who won on Monday night?
Yeah, Caleb Williams.
I mean, I
thought Caleb played well.
Right.
I mean, he had a touchdown taken off the board that shouldn't have been taken off the board. You know, C.J. Stroud, after his rookie year, everybody was top five quarterback.
Yeah.
And he looked amazing. He has not looked that good since. You know, the Texans are 2-3. They're giving up 12 points a game.
Yes.
They're 2-3. And what does that mean? It means they're not scoring enough.
Yes.
Okay? And so maybe CJ gets it rolling a little bit, but he had a great first year. In the NFL, everybody adapts. It's how you adapt along with it. And so, you know, Sam Darnold. Horrible.
Baker Mayfield.
Well,
Baker Mayfield wasn't horrible, but
yeah, I mean, he had injury issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sam Darnold was horrible. And he's gotten it figured. He's got better coaching staff. He had better coaching staff in Minnesota. And they get it. It all takes time.
Right.
You can't crown a guy or crush a guy 6 weeks in.
Yes. You evaluate young quarterbacks over years, not weeks.
Yes.
And that's why it frustrates me when Cam Ward's a bust. They should have traded back and taken Jackson Dart. We don't know.
No.
We won't know for a while.
Just be happy that you won a few games. I mean, gosh, New York has been a black hole of victories for as long as I can remember now. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about the one team. I'm talking about them both. And so, you know, the fact that there's a glimmer of hope at quarterback, I'm happy for you.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you've conquered the world and hoodwinked everybody.
And I'll say it again. If Borgonzi called up Joe Shane right now and said, hey, we'll give you Cam Ward for Jackson Dart straight up, the Giants would say yes. They would. I still believe that. They wouldn't say it publicly, but they would definitely do it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Got off on a tangent there. Let's get back into college football on the other side. Vanderbilt LSU this weekend. Vandy favored in an SEC game for the first time in over 50 opportunities.
You are not selling this enough. Vanderbilt is favored.
Yes.
Over
LSU.
Okay, you're not selling it enough. Vandy is favored over 10th ranked LSU.
There we go.
That is what I never thought I would see in my lifetime.
Yep.
Sure, you could tell me they'd be favored over LSU one day. I'd say that LSU team is terrible. This LSU team is ranked 10th in the country.
There you go.
And Vanderbilt, not only are they favored, Jake, they started as a 1.5 favorite. It's been bet up to 2.5.
Vanderbilt is the favorite on their home field against LSU,
the 10th ranked
team in the country, and I believe the number is 51 straight SEC games as an underdog. No more. We'll talk about it on the other side.
And you'll see it on News 2.
Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you for about 40 more minutes. Chasing Big Joe taking over the top of the hour.
This officially my favorite song ever.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
This is it.
What's that?
Yep.
Nice call.
Favorite song ever. When I work out, it's the first song on the playlist.
Wow. Wow. Parker, you know, we got some telepathy through the glass here.
Yeah. I knew that.
Queen and David Bowie.
He could see it.
It is a great song.
Do you like Ice Ice Baby?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Fantastic. You know, I was at a Titans-Texans game, and this was after Ice had, you know, gone
right
to the great pasture of
one hit wonders. Yep.
And he played halftime at Reliant Stadium.
Wow.
And he did Ice Ice Baby and Go Ninja and then sprinted off the field. And I was like, that is the best halftime of my life.
I
hate halftime shows.
Yeah.
I hate
most of them are not good.
Like, I don't watch the Super Bowl halftime show. I do not care.
Yeah.
I am the football guy. I do not care. But you better believe I sat there and watched Vanilla Ice, who, by the way, was in an Adam Sandler movie, That's My Boy,
which is
a horrible movie,
yeah,
and I don't recommend to anyone to watch.
Is it Andy Samberg in that, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do not watch it. But the fact that Vanilla Ice was in it was tremendous.
Yes, yes. Update also on the Titans press conference I just saw. 2:20 p.m. is the – they're doing it after practice.
Yeah, and that's a coach's decision.
Yeah.
Some coaches like to do it before because then they don't have to answer to injuries.
Right.
Mike McCoy is evidently an after guy, and I prefer the after guy.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to, especially, you know, training camp when everybody cares so much about practice. You'd like
and
to
we get
hear
to watch
from the
practice.
Coach after.
Yeah.
So Mike McCoy and Cam Ward at 2:20. So keep it tuned right here. The Cam Ward presser is going to be very interesting today.
Yeah.
To hear what he thinks of the changes in Mike McCoy.
Well, he's always so level headed.
Right. I don't know if there's not going to be any sweeping, you know.
I mean, he's going to say, thank Coach Callie. I believe in him. I'm sorry this happened. You know, I didn't do enough to keep him
here.
Yeah,
he'll take some blame for it.
He said, but we got to move on. We got to win a game to win.
Yep.
And you know, you can be respectful while saying you got to turn the page. Mike McCoy did it. And I believe Cam Ward will do it because Cam Ward, for all of the, he's got to play better. He's got to do this. He understands the position.
Yes, he does.
And he understands the weight that the position has and the importance that his words have. You know, when he said, you know, what he said after that one loss.
We asked.
Yes. That wasn't by mistake. He was trying to get He was trying to let everybody know this is not good enough.
I think he's realized he could have gone about it differently, but in that Mike Silver article, he did say, like, I don't regret it. Like, this is
no.
This is
he shouldn't.
How we can get the team back on track. So Cam Ward, Mike McCoy going to speak after practice today around 2:20. So you got us for the rest of the show. We won't be interrupted by a press conference like last week.
You're welcome.
Let's talk Vanderbilt here. Vandy hosting LSU, number 10 team in the country, and favored by 2.5 points.
And people betting it. People saying they will cover.
Right. 1.5. People said that's too low.
Yep.
Bet Vanderbilt. So the Commodores trying to get to 6-1, get a huge win, which, again, it would set them up to be in control of their own destiny to get into the playoffs. Missouri's coming in next week.
They got to have this one.
I think so, too.
You got to have this
one. Because if you lose this one, that means you have to run the table.
Yes.
And you've still got Missouri coming in next week. Tennessee. Missouri's not a pushover. You got to go on the road to Texas, who Texas – did bounce back last week and got a big win.
Red River Shootout.
Auburn is, we saw last week, Auburn was a centimeter away from going up 17-0 on Georgia, and that's a team that's not going to come in here and just go away. Although
that was a well-officiated game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I know Auburn fans out there. Plenty of Auburn fans in Nashville. They're wearing their pinstriped shirts this week in honor of the officials. And then you know, I don't want to look over Kentucky, but like Kentucky's not.
You can do that.
Kentucky is the easiest game on the schedule.
I mean, look, they looked over Georgia State last year and lost.
Right. So you can't look past Kentucky, but if you're looking for a win on the schedule where you feel good about it,
that's it.
It's Kentucky. And then you got Tennessee and Neyland. So this would be a good start where you are like, hey, we've got 4 games now until Tennessee with a bye week in there.
Mm-hmm.
We go 3-1. We're playing for a playoff spot in Neyland.
Well, look, if they win this game, they're ranked 17th.
They're
at least 14th.
Right.
They'll certainly jump over. So you'll jump over. If you win this week, you'll jump over LSU. You'll jump over probably the loser of the Tennessee-Alabama game. And you could possibly also jump over the loser of Georgia-Ole Miss.
Correct.
Unless Ole Miss loses because they don't have a loss.
Yes.
And Georgia has lost. So Georgia,
and Notre Dame plays USC this week, who USC just beat Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan's
not great.
That's an elimination game, I think.
Look, it's a tough game, but I think Notre Dame's better than they are. Where's that game? In South Bend?
That is in South Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think Notre Dame's better
than they are. I agree.
I think that game will be within 2 touchdowns.
Notre
Dame hasn't had a lot of lately.
Yeah, it's not going to be a blowout, but I agree.
Look, they got a coach fired.
They did. Sam Pittman was sent out the door after that game. They're not going to jump over, Oregon, who's playing Rutgers this weekend.
But there are teams who are going to lose who are in front of them.
Yes, there are matchups of teams in front of them that if they go to 2 losses, you got a 1-loss Vanderbilt
team.
They're
going to be higher.
Vandy's going to be higher. So you put them right in to the conversation for a playoff spot if you win this game.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't hate the matchup. Like, this offense for LSU has not been good. Vandy is coming off a game against Alabama where they made mistakes. And you look back at that game, and you can say, if we just hadn't shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times,
we turnovers in the red zone.
We could have won that game.
Absolutely.
Coming off a bye week, I've said it, and I don't know if it has any kind of bearing on the result of this game this week, but last year, Vandy had that 2 overtime loss to Missouri and then the bye week and came back and beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clark Lee and Jerry Kill and this staff know how to get a team ready when they have extra time. And LSU's coming off a must-win game against South Carolina. They got it done. I think Vandy is in a spot where if they play their brand of football, they can win this game.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple important points there. You know, number one, typically in the past, Vanderbilt would play a Georgia or an Alabama or an LSU, and they would be beat up. And in the next week, you would see the previous week play out in that game because they were so beat up. They either had lost players or players were playing while banged up. They are physically able to go toe-to-toe with those teams now. And also, they have depth, so if a guy does get beat up, they can plug another guy in and play.
Yep.
And so on top of that, they have had the bye week as well. So physically, they can play with LSU. And LSU, typical LSU, really physically talented. The other thing is like you talked about with that Alabama loss, their confidence is not wavered at all because of that loss. I'm certain if you talk to them, they would all be like, yeah, we should have won that football game. We beat ourselves. I think the coaching staff has some things that they could look back on that game and say we should have done differently.
Yeah.
Run the football.
Right.
Because they were running it very, very well. And I think, you know, Diego, who's had so many electric moments, that wasn't his. That wasn't his.
It was not the best day for Diego Pavia, to say the least. And I think he is going to come out with a chip on his shoulder again, which I think that's when Diego's best. He always has a chip on his shoulder.
None of that changes.
Maybe it's a little bigger this week coming off that loss to Alabama. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will talk some more Titans before the show wraps up. But, Corey, do you want to give your thoughts on the other big news of the weekend in college football when we come back?
Oh, my favorite guy, yeah. James Franklin? Sure.
We'll talk about it on the other side.
That was I cried in my beer over that one.
Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
What is this?
What do you mean, what is this?
What is this?
Nothing's going to stop us now.
No, come on, man.
Do you not like it?
No.
Corey's been on and off with Parker's music choices today.
Okay.
Hey,
this has never really happened
before.
It's
a learning experience.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
I'm kind of shell-shocked.
If you come at me with REO Speedwagon, too, I'm throwing you out on Murfreesboro Road.
No one's ever come after my music like this. Wow.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, Corey may have higher standards than TD does.
That was bad.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You know I love you.
Next man.
By the way, season's over for the Cubs, and I appreciate your support.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah, no more Go Cubs Go on these Wednesdays.
No more Tigers.
Yeah,
not until April.
It was a tough week for our teams. I stayed up for 15 innings.
They beat the Padres. My postseason was really complete. And then when they stretched it to five after being on 0-2, I was pretty good with that because I didn't think they were as good as the Brewers. So
yeah, I was kind of in the same spot. Like the Mariners were my World Series pick. So yeah. For the Tigers to get it to five, and I said after the Guardian series, I was just so happy to end the Guardian season.
See, we're like, the same way. We were good with the first round.
Cleveland was saying all everything about coming back from the 15.5 game lead to be the ones to end their season. Fine with me. I wish I didn't have to stay up for a 5-hour game to watch them lose in 15 innings, but you know. It is what it is. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. One more thought on college football before we wrap up with the Titans. James Franklin.
Oh.
Three straight losses. You know,
it's not just three straight losses.
Well, it's losses to maybe two of the worst Power 4 teams in the country in back-to-back
weeks.
Yes,
it is.
And it is insane to think 15 days is all that separated him having the lead in overtime over a top 10 Oregon team to being fired.
Yeah.
And it happened that fast, but James Franklin is out the door. Penn State, the early names that have been thrown out there, Matt Rhule from Nebraska, a Penn State alum, makes a whole lot of sense.
Bill O'Brien back on the list.
I mean, it worked out fine when he was there for a little bit. He was only there for, what, 2 years?
He was
3 years?
So miserable in Houston. I mean, it was such a miserable guy.
It was horrible. It was one of, we just talked about this with James Franklin of like no one liked him there. I don't think he won. That's what it was with Bill O'Brien. They won the division every year, but the way he did it was just not great.
No, and with James Franklin, that's what this taught us is they hated him.
Yeah,
they hated him.
But
they tolerated him because he was winning.
Right,
but the moment he stopped winning, pack up, get out.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Marcus Freeman, you know, lost to Northern Illinois and went to the championship. This year dropped the first two in close, but just continued. He, boom, get out.
Yep.
I mean, that means there's a heavy dose of we can't stand you.
And where does he go now? We were just having the conversation.
Yeah, there's a lot of places.
I was saying I wouldn't hate if he was the next head coach at Virginia Tech. I think it's unlikely.
I do too.
I think he's going to aim a little bit higher than that. Auburn is the one that you mentioned that I'm coming around on. I think that is a likely landing spot if they fire Hugh Freeze. And if Hugh Freeze, if they end up being 7-5 this year or whatever, 6-6, like they might fire him anyway, even if he is doing a fine job.
You could have three SEC teams fighting over him.
Yeah.
Arkansas, Auburn, Florida. They could have like a bidding war.
Kentucky?
Against you. No. Let's be serious. Okay, let's have a grown-up conversation now, Jake, okay? Those three could be in a bidding war. UCLA would be another one.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to go all the way out on the West Coast. I don't know if UCLA is willing to spend the money on football. I don't know if that school, if that's where they're at.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they haven't been good.
It doesn't seem like it's a priority.
No. And so, you know, I think I would be surprised. I mean, that's if he wants to coach. And I'm assuming he wants to. He still doesn't have a national championship. So I'm going to assume. If I were him, okay, I would probably look at Florida and say, that's my best chance to win a national championship.
Right.
And if I can get that job, I'll go to that job. You know, Auburn, there's a lot of bologna sandwiches that go along with the Auburn job. A lot. A lot. And Arkansas is a tough job just because you don't have the recruiting base right there that you have with Auburn and you have with Florida,
right.
You know, with Penn State, you know.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of Pennsylvania kids. And also, we talked about doing well in the 757.
Yeah, D.C.
Yeah, D.C. as well. And I know Arkansas, you say, well, Texas is right there. Well, there's two teams that more than two teams that
yeah,
recruit.
You're
Texas
not exactly
pretty hard.
The premier program
there's
in Texas.
Texas A&M, Texas Christian, Houston,
Oklahoma,
Texas Tech, Oklahoma. Yes, I mean these schools all and LSU.
Yeah, LSU's right there too.
LSU is not. I mean, Louisiana is not far from Houston.
No.
Okay. And so all those schools hit Texas. So Arkansas is like the run to the litter.
Yeah.
So that that's why when you're looking at where does he go, money is important. But if you're James Franklin and you have the reputation of great coach who can't win the big one, that's the box you want to check. So where do I go to check that box?
Yeah.
Florida would be if I were him, that's where I would push the eggs in my basket.
Yes. And Billy Napier,
he's not going to make it.
I don't think he's making it through another season.
No.
Where I think it was SEC Shorts put out there that he can only coach well when his job's on the line. You know, he got the win against Texas, but
Florida's not a factor.
Billy Napier is not going to make it through the rest of the season, I don't think. And
well, even if he does, he's fired.
I think Franklin is definitely high on their list. And the coaching carousel is going to be crazy this year because Penn State, if they go get Matt Rhule. Now, Nebraska's back open.
Who would you hire if you were Penn State?
I would try and get Cignetti, I think.
Okay, I could see that. Nick Saban would be my first call.
Yeah, I could see it.
Because they have the talent right now to compete for a national championship. He doesn't have to come in and rebuild it. Just coach, just elevate it.
Yeah.
Elevate what we got for 4 years and then walk off into the sunset.
The talent who was there, I don't think that they're all going to transfer if Nick Saban walks through the door.
That's a whole other aspect
of it.
Like,
he gets to keep that. And guess what? Some of the Alabama players might come and play for Penn State. So that would be an interesting call. And it's one of those things, it can't hurt. Make him say no to you.
Exactly. No, it's the first call I would make. I don't know if that's what they'll do or have done. But it's the first call. I mean, I would certainly make that call before I called Matt Rhule.
Yeah, Matt Rhule, the connection's
or
obvious,
Bill
right?
O'Brien.
But I think Saban's your first call, and then I would go Cignetti because Cignetti, he's what, 64, 65?
Yeah.
But if you can right now what he's doing in Indiana.
Oh, they're great.
Imagine giving him the resources that Penn State
they
has.
They got three first-place votes.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
Yeah, they just won in Eugene.
I got to say, I did not expect much from them this weekend. And to see them go win on the road by 10 at Oregon.
No, it was really
like
impressive.
That has completely changed my outlook of the Indiana program.
And again, they destroyed Illinois this year. 63-10, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a good Illinois team that battled Ohio State. And what was that game, like 35-21 or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't 63-10.
No, I mean, Ohio State controlled it. But they didn't blow their doors off.
Right.
Like, Indiana blew their doors off. And then they go to Eugene and win? I mean, if you want to vote Indiana number one right now, I can't argue with you.
And does Indiana go undefeated?
They
don't play Ohio State. I think Penn State is the only, and they got an interim coach. Here's the rest of their schedule. Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Penn State, Wisconsin, Purdue. That is a 12-0 football team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe you slip up against Penn State. Maryland has been better this year, but you look at that, they've gotten through the toughest games on their schedule.
Yeah.
So, Indiana,
Yeah. So I would call Cignetti for sure.
But yeah, you wonder if he wants to take that. You know, maybe he does want to finish out.
Was he before Indiana?
James Madison.
That's right. I mean, so yeah. I mean, he's used to doing more with less.
Right. I mean, I have plenty of friends who went to James Madison growing up, and like I always knew that he had a great program up there. You know,
Mark Bynson.
You wonder why Virginia Tech didn't make the call up to 2 hours down the road.
They overthought it.
They did overthink it.
I mean, a lot of people overthink it. You know, look, Jerry Kill is a perfect example. When I was at SIU, we hired him from Pittsburgh State.
Yeah.
He was like a Division II. But he was like 38-2.
Yeah.
And so we said, come on. And he turned us from a laughingstock to a top five 1AA team in like 2 years.
Right.
And then he goes to Northern Illinois. And guess what? They're in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, they play in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't – these guys who are winners – are winners.
Right.
All right. And it really, it's just a matter of, I mean, so Cignetti could go to Penn State and he would win.
Right. You give him those resources, I'm sure he would do great. So it's going to be a mess, but a fun mess of a coaching carousel based on all the moves. And each move opens up a new spot for another coach to go. We'll have to see how it all plays out.
What about Matt Campbell?
Matt Campbell's
from Iowa State.
Yeah, and that's
a good coach.
That's a name that gets circulated every year, and he never leaves.
And maybe he's kind of burned out of that job, too.
Right.
Maybe he's taken that thing as high as he can take it.
It kind of feels like Luke Fickle a couple years ago of like, hey, Luke Fickle was rumored for years to be ready to leave Cincinnati, and where is he going to go? And he didn't. Then he left for Wisconsin. I think this maybe it's the year Matt Campbell.
And I know Luke had Cincinnati in that New Year's mix. I view Matt Campbell is more successful.
Yeah.
Like long-term more successful.
Yeah, I agree with that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got one more segment left on this Wednesday. Chase and Big Joe coming up at noon. We will wrap up on the Titans coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.
I did it.
You know what? I did it. I you know what I appreciate? The courage. The courage to just pick another song without consulting me.
Yeah.
I mean, your track record's really strong.
You got to have a short-term memory.
It has been good.
Be a goldfish, right? Be a goldfish.
Yeah. 5-second memory? Is that what it is?
Let me ask a question because I'm old and stupid. Is that just Phil Collins or is that Genesis?
It is Phil Collins.
Okay.
You didn't take the suggestions from the YouTube chat. I saw that you were taking recommendations.
Here's the thing. I was taking recommendations, but I had a song in mind, and I thought that it might hit with Corey, and it did. So I trusted my gut.
Yeah,
went with my instincts.
It's a good call.
But I was just telling you, you bring REO Speedwagon out, and that's a fireable offense.
Yeah, that was not listed
in the
suggestions in the YouTube chat, but maybe we can get
REO
to some
Speedwagon
of those.
REO Speedwagon
was not in there.
Okay.
No. All right. wrap up the show here on Next Man
Up. We're going to block those people.
102.5 The Game. I believe one of them is our intern who he's in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So,
okay.
But he did not say REO Speedwagon.
Good.
Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up the show here. Chase and Big Joe coming up after us. And again, always a reminder, Teron Davenport with us tomorrow from 9 to noon.
Interested to hear what he's got to say.
Yes. I'm sure that is going to be an enlightening show from TD, who we've had the conversations about Brian Callahan for weeks. Now that the decision has actually been made, I'm excited to hear his thoughts.
I appreciate TD because I view myself as a measured person. I kind of take things in and I try to figure them out before I open my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I speak before I look, that bad things happen. And I think TD is also measured. You know, in what's going on and waiting till he knows. You know, he'll have opinions, but he will wait till he knows to really
speculate or
say something.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I appreciate that. And, he's going to source things and not just be like, yeah, this is what's going on. And I'm not saying that's what happened here by any means, but I'm just, there's a responsibility with what he does and what he says. And I always appreciate it. He's one of my first texts. Always when there's stuff going on.
Right. Excited to hear from him again. 9 to noon tomorrow. TD will be with us. Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football going to join us for his weekly visit at 11.
For the favored Commodores.
Yes. The favored against a top 10 team. Got to keep emphasizing it.
Yes.
And with TD coming in tomorrow, I am excited to hear maybe some of his thoughts on how this happened and where they go from here. Again, we heard from Mike McCoy yesterday. We'll hear from him again after practice today. One thing I did want to touch on before we get out of here, Tavondre Sweat. Brian Callahan did mention last week that they expected to open up his practice window.
Haven't seen that.
With a lot going on that hasn't been stated yet today, if we don't hear something today, maybe there's some concern. I mean, obviously, if they don't open his window today, then he's not playing on Sunday. So interested to see what happens with him, because
they could use him.
Similar to J.C. Latham, it's like, man, you expected year two jumps from both those guys, and it's been very disappointing so far.
What do you expect in this football game from the Titans?
Not a lot, but I think I'm hopeful to see changes in the offense.
Do you expect a bump?
Yes. I do expect a bump, not a bump enough to keep this game close.
Do you expect it to be like a first half bump and then it to fade away?
I expect it to look better even if it's not reflected on the scoreboard. I guess I think you will watch the game and say that team looked better than it did last week, even if they still lose the game by 14 points.
Yep. I wish I could say I knew what to expect, because part of me says this is going to be a 42-3 meltdown. And then part of me says they're going to be more physical. I mean, I'm not saying they haven't been physical this year, because I mean they've been physical,
right?
But they're gonna look better. They're gonna be more organized. They're gonna fight as one more, and push. And Cam's gonna make more plays because he's gonna be in position to do more things. And again, that's all I want to see, is Cam in position to do more Cam stuff.
Yes.
Okay. And so I can't say what to expect. I don't know, man. It's a roll of the dice.
Right. You can see progress this week, even if Vrabel still comes in here and wipes the floor with you.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to be looking for on Sunday. What does the product look like on the field?
All right. What's your the Patriots are 7.5-point favorite. They started at 6.5. What's your score do you think it's
going
to be?
I just don't think Vrabel's going to let up.
No.
So I'm going to go...
Well, he's trying to build a championship culture.
I'm going to go like 38-17.
Wow. I was going to say 38-14.
Yeah.
Because like, would 42-3 surprise me?
No.
No. Would 28-24 surprise me?
Maybe more than...
I mean, it would surprise me a little bit, but I mean, the Patriots have been very good, but I mean, they struggled with the Saints for a long way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, and it's the NFL.
Yep.
It's the NFL. Titans winning would be a big surprise to me.
Yes.
That would be a massive surprise.
I agree. And going to be an interesting week leading up to it. Corey, as always, appreciate you coming in.
I always enjoy it, and I know it's always even more enjoyable for you, so you're welcome.
Yes, we always appreciate it. And again, you know, as always, check out Corey on News 2 and settle in on Saturday.
That's right.
Three straight games.
So let me just tell you, News 2, we've got Sports Extra Daily if you want more of my talk. That's 6:30 to 7 every night on WKRN Plus, our streaming app. All right. Also, TN Nation Saturday night after the late news, but that follows a great day of college football. Vandy at 11, Georgia at 2:30, and Tennessee at 6:30. All of them on News 2. Thank you for the 1 minute for the shameless.
Yes. No need to grab the remote on Saturday. It's all on News 2. For Corey Curtis and Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman. That does it for us. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. You're on 102.5 The Game.